Our reading this morning is from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had to bathe needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew he was going to betray him, and that was why he had said that not everything was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do this as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And may God add his blessings to his reading from his holy word. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, as we prepare to meet you at the table, help us to prepare ourselves to receive from your hand, to receive your blessing, to receive your healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sometimes what we notice around us in life is very much preconditioned by who we are, where we've been, what we feel. Take one day just at random and how we might have felt and what we have noticed particularly about that day. It may be that we have been for a glorious walk and seen a lovely sunset or sunrise. It may be that we have seen the tide coming in. It may be that we have enjoyed the trees or the spring flowers. It may be another time that we have enjoyed someone's company, particularly unexpected or expected. Or it may be that we have enjoyed this day so much because we have sat through three games of rugby and actually enjoyed most of them. Focusing on what it is that we want to receive, what we want to give, what it is that we are there to have and to perhaps focus upon. And today in our reading, this is the reading which, of course, is from Maundy Thursday and is, of course, from the Last Supper and is, of course, why we're reading it today, because we're gathering around the table of the Last Supper, communion, mass, whatever you want to call it. We're gathering at this table to receive bread and wine from Jesus Christ our Lord as a sign of God's grace, as a sign of God's love. And in that passage that Ken read to us, very early on it says, he did this to show the extent of his love. And that has got to be the focus, which so often people miss when they're thinking about faith, perhaps especially if they're not involved in it. They consider faith in God and Jesus to be something that is oppressive or judgmental or condemnatory, and it's not. As we have seen from the words that were in that word section, it's compassion. It's about people actually wanting to help one another. It's about understanding. It's about trying to understand not only about ourselves, but about God's bigger world, about his creation, and about our place in it, in his will. It's about humility, and perhaps that's where we come in today to the reading about washing of the feet. Kneels in humility and washes their feet. And it's a passage, of course, we know and we've heard of. It's a passage that perhaps sometimes on Maundy Thursday we've seen other churches washing people's feet, or we've thought we should do this ourselves as a symbol of humility, as a symbol of servitude, as a symbol that we understand what it is that God is asking. But before we even get there, there's something else within that passage that we need to take notice of, that we need to focus upon. This was not before the meal. This was not as people entered the room and were greeted and were given a warm welcome and said, "Let us wash your feet so that you are comfortable for your meal." It should have been. It should have been part of that welcome scenario, but it wasn't. And actually what we hear is that during the meal had already started when Jesus said, "Wait a minute, let's stop proceedings because we've missed something." And it wasn't just a case of ritual or protocol. There was something important that he wanted to focus upon. He didn't do anything just by chance. There was always a teaching element, always something that he wanted to draw people closer to. And yes, they had forgotten to say grace before the meal. How often have you done that? Or how often are you sitting at table wondering who's going to pick up their fork first? Wondering who will go for the bread or say, "Look, oh, they started. I will start as well," just to make them feel better. How often have we done that thinking, "Oh, we should have said grace, but we didn't. We'll do it at the end. That'll be fine." It is. But Jesus doesn't just think, "Oh, we've missed it. We'll do it later on." He stops them. Did he only just notice then that they hadn't done this? Or was he perhaps giving them the opportunity to say, "Oh, we're not quite ready"? But it seems they were already ensconced in the meal and the enjoyment and the celebration and the discussions and the conversations. There may only have been 13 of them there, but you know the noise 13 people can make when they're having a meal together. You know the racket that can go on in Cafe Connect when there's just half a dozen people around a table. We know, therefore, that the noise of 13 men gathered around discussing all that was going on in their lives would be loud, would be noisy, would be raucous. But Jesus stops them. He gets up from the table. He goes to the water that was already there and he pours it in the basin. He gathers to himself the towel, wraps it around his waist, and goes to the feet of his disciples. Now, they weren't sitting in chairs, comfortable or uncomfortable chairs. They weren't sitting in chairs. They were reclining at table with their heads all together so they could talk easier and their feet out the rack. So was Jesus simply going round his friends saying, "Oh, we forgot to do this. I'll tell you what, I'll just do this. You carry on." But they didn't simply carry on. They stopped because the focus was taken away from the center of the table and it was taken to Jesus, who was at their feet, washing their feet. Now, whatever we think of this as a ritual, whatever we think of it and thinking, "Well, it's not something we do today, so why would we do it in our services or on Maundy Thursday? It's not part and parcel of what we do. What would be commonplace today?" Let's forget about commonplace today. Let's focus on what Jesus was asking his disciples to focus on then. It wasn't that they were getting their feet washed. It was that Jesus, their Savior, their Rabbi, their Master, their Lord, the one they called Messiah, the one who was about to die for them, was saying, "I am doing this for you." And it would take some time to wash 12 people's feet. I mean, not hear if anyone washed his feet in return. We don't hear about that. It's just what he could do for them and do for them before he got to that part of those proceedings where he said, "This is my body, this is my blood." Before he got to that part of saying that he was going to die for them and give his all for them, he stopped proceedings. He paused. How often do we pause? How often do we stop and take time to think? We love words rolling out. We love to be active. We love to be doing. But how often do we stop? And how often before we come to worship? And how often, especially before we come to share bread and wine, do we stop What is this all about? What is happening here? Let's go back to that little phrase at the very beginning of this passage. He did this to show the extent of his love for Peter? Yes. For James and John? Absolutely. For Bartholomew? Yes. Alphaeus? Of course. Judas the Zealot? Yes. Every single one of them. He washed their feet. He made them stop. He made them focus on him. Can you do that? Before we go into communion, what is he giving you? What is he asking of you? And I don't mean another job to tick off. I mean your time, your attention, your focus. Peter, of course, is like all of us. Oh, you can't be doing this. You can't be doing this. Let's stop, stop, stop. And she said, no, this is what's happening. Well, all of me, do all of me, because obviously, just as a feat, I'm dirty all over, and I'm bad, and I'm awful, and I'm terrible, and you wouldn't believe the things I've done, Jesus. And, oh, please make me clean. And he's saying, you are already clean. You're my follower. You're my disciple. I love you with all my heart. It's just your feet are dirty from the walk. This is just a wee bit of symbolism to say that in our walk through life, we pick up things. We need continually to be coming to Jesus to hear again of his love, to hear again of his mercy, to hear again of his grace and forgiveness. We need to keep coming again, but not for the whole thing again. And that is where we have to sometimes move ourselves on, because we are so ready to stop at that point. I am still needing cleanse, Lord. I am not ready to move on. I am still needing clean, Lord. I'm not ready to move on. I still don't know enough, Lord. I'm not ready to move on. And we go and we go and we go, always for the same treatment. But our faith is a journey. And as Paul said in one part, you know, we're still on milk. We're still being fed spiritual milk. We're not on the solid food yet. But we should be. Because we are growing in our faith. We are growing on that journey. We are going further and further along on that journey. And when are we going to say, yes, we are ready now? We are cleansed. I accept I'm cleansed. I accept I'm your follower. I accept your love. I accept your grace and your mercy. I know your peace. And yes, it sometimes gets mixed up and it sometimes doesn't feel that way. But I do know you and I do love you and I do accept you. And it's hard to move on. And it's hard to be told you can't have something that you really, really want. And it's hard when the milk is finished and you feel there's nothing else to go. But there's always something else in mum's bag or dad's bag. He's fine. But there is that pause to say, what are we focusing on? But there's also that invitation to go further, to have more. We are children of faith, but we have got to get past the childish part and move on to being mature adults. Otherwise, how are our children to know how they are to grow if they see us still having spiritual milk instead of feeding on what is truly solid food of faith and love and compassion? Jesus' invitation is to stop and think and wonder at this time of sacrament. A sacrament is simply the visible sign of God's grace. We celebrate communion every time we eat because he said, every time you eat and drink, remember me, and that's what we're doing. But when we come to actual sharing bread and wine, and as I said earlier, whether it's simply passing it from your one neighbor to the next neighbor and you're holding it for those seconds, it is being part of this family. It's being part of this community, a community of faith which is not just of earth, but of heaven. It's being one of God's people who are included and accepting of this feast. It is being offered his healing and love and mercy. And whether or not we actually take the bread or take the wine for whatever reasons, in that sharing, in that passing, remember that he is wanting to give you all that you need today and all that you will need for tomorrow. And that is his promise continually. Jesus invites us to be part of this. He invites you to this feast prepared for you to make you ready, to make you ready for the journey. And our journey at the moment is still to Jerusalem. We're still in that season of Lent. We're still looking forward to that cross, and we're still looking beyond that cross, the resurrection and the glory of a risen Christ who says, I am still with you and I will never leave you. The feet washing, ritual, symbolic. We'll be doing that at the Easter Code on Thursday with the youngsters, and you should see their faces when they're asked to wash someone else's feet or they're asked to have their feet washed. And we laugh and we smile and we giggle and we think, oh, isn't that funny? And then we think, what would I do? Where would I be in all of this? Would I be making a joke of it too? Would I be trying to push someone else forward? Would I be outside pretending I was doing something else? All of those things probably. But whether or not we're actually having our feet washed, just in a moment or two, stop now and think. Jesus is coming to you in bread and wine, in his spirit, to show you, the extent of his love for you, as well as for the whole world. It's a special feast. It's a special occasion, because he's saying, I know exactly where you are and what I can give you to take you forward. Some of us are still very much on the early part of our journey. Some of us are moving on. Some of us are a bit stuck. And some of us just need to stop now today and say, thank you. Thank you that I am here. Thank you that I am able to be here physically. Thank you that I am in this community of family, of friendship, of acceptance. Thank you for all that you have given me, for the people who have shared this journey with me and who have made me who I am today. And thank you, God, for giving us your Son, who highlights this love, who focuses on his presence, who says, here I am to love you. During our offering, just take time to stop and think, and as well as give, to think what you're about to receive. For your Lord Jesus Christ is coming to you in bread and wine to show you what? The extent of his love. Amen.